Exodus chapter 15. As I studied and prepared for today, the Lord helped me in an unusual way concerning the matter of leaving this world, which is a certain fact, a certain thing for each of us. We don't know when. That's in God's hands and God's time. But I trust the Lord will help you today as He's helped me in considering this matter that we call death. And the title of the message, Crossing the River in Death. Exodus chapter 15 is a tremendous chapter in Israelite history, beginning with a song of praise unto the Lord for having parted the Red Sea so the Israelites could cross over on dry ground, ending the long, long 400 years captivity in Egypt. Beginning in verse 14, we jump ahead 40 years to another generation and another miracle, the crossing of the Jordan into the land of Canaan. It's called the promised land of inheritance to the nation of Israel. And all this together is a picture of the full salvation of God's elect people. Egypt represents this sin-cursed world in which we were slaves before we were born again, just as Israel were slaves in Egypt, and then quickened to spiritual life by God's Spirit, regenerated, born again. We were brought out of Egypt. Then the 40 years in the wilderness represents the Christian life in this world, full of hardships, full of disappointments, troubles, trials, but it's also a life of excitement, seeing the Lord's hand in things that we cannot handle ourselves, and seeing Him miraculously come through time and time again. After the 40 years, the crossing of the Jordan. And while the land of Canaan is not a definite type of heaven, we've heard that many times, we know there were giants there and there were wars to fight there, but yet in a measure it's a picture of the believer's transition from this life into our eternal inheritance. To be with the Lord and to be like Christ our Redeemer forever. There are several statements here in this 15th chapter of Exodus in verses 14 through 17 pointing specifically to Canaan. Verse 14 said, the people shall hear. That is, the people over there shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Palestine. That's exactly what happened 40 years later over in Joshua chapter 2 in the story of Rahab. She said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land and that your terror is fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we've heard all the things the Lord has done for you, parting the Red Sea, protecting and providing through the wilderness. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, and there was no more courage left in any man. By divine inspiration, Moses prophesies this, crossing the Jordan 40 years beforehand, right here in Exodus 15. That 40 years in the wilderness. It includes basically one generation dying and another generation growing up. It's like our lives in this world. I remember as a lad, young lad, my granddad. I knew he was old. I knew he would die someday. Of course, it was shocking when he did. And then my dad, I watched him grow older and grow feeble and have a heart attack and have a stroke. And then he left us. In all this time, I never imagined that I myself would ever be an old man. I had too much energy for that. But guess what? Things happen. Things happen. And so this whole picture is like our lives in this world. I'll read you a paragraph from A.W. Pink. He said, so far as the spiritual life is concerned, this world is simply a wilderness, barren and desolate. The wilderness is a place of travelers, journeying from one country to another. None but a madman would think of making his home there. Well, we got lots of madmen, don't we? Precisely such is this world. It is the place through which man journeys from time to eternity. And faith it is which makes the difference between the way in which men regard this world. The unbeliever, for the most part, is content to remain here. He settles down as though he is to stay here forever. Psalm 49:11, their inward thought is, their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their land after their names. Every effort is made to prolong earthly sojourn. And when at last death claims him, he is loath to leave. Far different is it with the believer, the real believer. His home is not here. He looks for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, Hebrews 11:10. Consequently, he is a stranger and pilgrim here, Hebrews 11:13. It is of this the wilderness speaks. This world. For the believer, this world is a dry and thirsty land, like the wilderness. No water in it to give strength for the journey. And reading the account, when they did find water, it was bitter. They call the place Mara, which means bitterness. Such is this world to the inner man of the believer, to the new creation. There's nothing here for us. Yes, in our flesh and in our delight in living, we do set our hearts on things sometimes. We have all experienced setting our heart on some earthly object, and God may permit us to obtain it and have it. But often, to our surprise, how empty it is. What we expected to yield such satisfaction did not. It rather brought sorrow and emptiness. This wilderness world is cold and difficult to journey through. People murmur against the Lord now like they did then. It's just not home for God's children. So many times things happen, and we have dark days, and it seems the Lord is so distant, nowhere in the picture. But I would remind us, He's present and He's prominent in this chapter, just as He is in our lives. Look with me at the emphasis on Him, the Lord. Verse 1, I will sing unto the Lord. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength and song. Verse 3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Verse 6, thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Verse 11, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Verse 16, fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over. Verse 17, thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. Verse 18, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. So it's the Lord that's on top of everything and in the middle of everything and controlling everything. And oh, to realize this morning that you could realize personally that it's the Lord bringing us through here. You're not left on your own. But one day, known only to Him, a time of His appointing for you personally, it's time to cross the Jordan. And you don't have to be old. Any age, there's an appointed time. Somebody will call 911, and you might faintly hear someone whisper, I believe he's leaving us. I believe she's about to make the crossing. In God's time, it'll happen. Now, for the unbeliever, it's a very fearful and dreadful time. But for God's child, we're in His hands. And we can joyfully anticipate the end of this hard pilgrimage. We can enter the everlasting inheritance prepared for us from the foundation of the world. I'm not talking about robes, crowns, and golden streets and mansions, but the joy will be to be in the very presence of our Lord, to be in His very image, and to be reunited with the family already home. I want to give you four thoughts today about the Lord's people crossing the Jordan, about our leaving this world, about that by many a dreaded and avoided word, death. So these four things have become precious to my heart, and I trust the Lord will give them to you today. Number one, there is a purchase that's fully accomplished for this crossing. The Scripture tells us we are bought with a price. It's a done deal. You can stop trying to make it. It's already made. The purchase is complete. It is accomplished. I think most professing believers in Christ are still trying to save themselves, which is nothing more than unbelief of what He has already done. I'm saying it's a purchase fully accomplished. A few times in life, I've gone somewhere to purchase something that I had seen beforehand and decided I want that. But when I got there, I was too late. It had already been purchased. Someone else had bought it, and I couldn't. Well, that's how it is with you living your life trying to save yourself. You're too late. Way too late. We were chosen in Christ. Ephesians 1:4 says, before the foundation of the world. That's election, if you please. We were redeemed, that is, purchased by the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:18. We are effectually called in God's time by His grace. Psalm 65:4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. That's the purchase, fully accomplished. Contrary to popular opinion, Christ did not die to potentially redeem all men. He died to definitely redeem those chosen before the world was. It's a done deal, a purchase accomplished. Hebrews 9:12, by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained, that's past tense, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You say, I thought it was up to what I do. It's never been up to what you do. Because you've never done anything right. You've never done anything at work. It's God's doing. He, by His own blood, entered in once into the holy place, having obtained, already obtained, eternal redemption for us. So I'm saying to you, you can stop after all these years the hassle of trying to save yourself, of trying to be good enough, struggling to make the grade. When the time comes to die, you're sinless. And you're sinless in Christ right now. You're not sinless in this flesh. You're an awful mess. You're a wretch. But in Christ, all is well. Sin is gone. It's a purchase accomplished. He bore our sins away. So that's the first thing. It's a purchase accomplished. Rejoice in it and praise Him for it. That's number one. Number two is the passage we're approaching for the crossing. The Israelites could not enter the land of Canaan apart from crossing the River Jordan. And according to the record in Joshua chapter 3, at that season of the year, the river was overflowing her banks. To cross it was impossible. But the Lord said, now's the time. Now's the time. See, it's all in His word and in His time. We live our lives with so many loose ends to tie up. The river is out of its banks. And we'll never get caught up. We'll never get everything done. And we say, I can't die now. Oh, I just can't die now. I've got too much to do. You'll die when the Lord says it's your time. The Apostle Paul assured us in Philippians 1:23 that to depart and be with Christ is far better. Death for God's child is not a bad trade. It's a good trade. It's the passage from a land not ours to a land that is ours. Our inheritance given us that no one can take from us. This approaching passage to pass through the Jordan, what we call dying, it is very, necessary. We must cross the Jordan. Old Brother Kirkendall said, death is our ride out of here. We've got to have a ride to get to where we're going. Death is our ride out of here. And yet Jesus said, when God's children leave this life, it's not really dying. John 11:26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. 1 Corinthians 15:55, Christ in his death has removed the sting of death. He has taken away the victory of the grave. It's no big deal for God's child to leave here. Life has conquered death. Resurrection has conquered the grave. My dear friend, recently departed, Brother Don Fortner, he wrote this. Were it not for sin, death would never have had a beginning. And were it not for death, sin would never have had an ending. But thank God in Christ it does. So for God's child, death means deliverance. Out of the wilderness and across the river. Brother Don continued, for the believer, death is a friend. A welcome, long-expected friend who brings with him great relief and comfort. It is necessary because of sin. It is welcome because of grace. Talking about the passage we're approaching. Think about it. Number three, my third thought would be the peace that's afforded for the crossing. I would not suggest that in this flesh you'll be absolutely free of fear of any kind in the hour of death. But I do believe for God's children, you'll be a lot more comfortable with it in that hour than you are right now. Peace. Because God's in the picture. When Israelites walked out of Egypt after 400 years, the Bible says that not a dog made a sound. Could you imagine a whole multitude of people marching out and they didn't even a dog bark? That was God. And here in our text, Exodus 15 and verse 16, when the Israelites crossed the Jordan and entered the land of Canaan, it says here in this verse that the enemies were as still as a stone, dead as a rock. Fear and dread fell upon them. You say, well, I hope not to have any enemies when it's my time to die. Not talking about people. But in the hour of death, the demons of doubt will be silenced for God's child. The evil heart of unbelief that's plagued us through the years will give way to strong faith, making us glad we're in God's hands and not our own. There'll be an inexplainable peace in our hearts. When King David made the crossing, his last words, 2 Samuel 23:5, he could not say, I've done everything right. I've made no mistakes. I'm proud of my past. I have no regrets. He couldn't say that. Neither can I. But what he said was this. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant. ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire. Not what I've done, what He's done. This is all my salvation and all my desire. It's in His hands, not mine. That's peace. 2 Timothy 4, Paul said, I am now ready. Not because I've done so well, but because Christ has. I have fought a good fight. Not that my fighting was always so great, but it's a good fight I've been in. I have finished my course. Not the course I laid out for myself in life, but the course God laid out for me. I have kept the faith. Not I have kept faith, but I have kept the faith. The God-given gift to believe what I believed all these years and preached about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm at peace with it in the hour of death. Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith. There's peace. Proverbs 14:32, the righteous hath hope in death. There's peace. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, the world don't have it to give. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There's peace. There's peace afforded for the crossing. An old saint lay dying, and someone asked, how is it with you now, brother? And the man answered, all is well. I'll be home in a little while. There's peace. You say, well, I don't sense that right now. Then you must not be dying right now. There's peace afforded in the hour of death. In the Song of Solomon, the accuser says, what could he possibly see in her? That's what the accuser says about you and says to you every day you live. What could God possibly see in him or her? But here's what Christ says. Thou art all fair, my love. Thou art all fair. There is no spot in thee. There's peace. The old poet wrote, I would not live alway. No, welcome the tomb. Since Jesus has lain there, I dread not its gloom. He kicked both ends out of the grave. We simply pass through. There's a peace afforded, and I encourage you to put your trust in God alone. He is trustworthy. You will find in His Word guidance while you're in health, comfort when you're in sickness, strength when you're in trouble, grace when you're struggling, and peace when you're dying. I'm saying there's a peace afforded to cross the river. One old atheist, not worthy of being named, said when he was dying, I am taking a leap into the dark. Well, now, for the unbeliever, that's what it is. A leap into the dark. If you can't trust God today and believe that what Christ has done is enough, then that's what death will be for you, is a leap in the dark. But it's not so for God's child. They used to sing an old song years ago. You gotta walk that lonesome valley. You gotta walk it by yourself. No, thank God I don't have to walk it by myself. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. There'll be peace beyond measure. When God's children get ready to go, we'll say with Mr. Moody, this is glorious. Earth receding. Heaven opening. God calling me. Someone has said, we need all the scriptures to live by, but only one to die by. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's peace. And now the fourth thing, not only is there the purchase that's accomplished, that's done, and the passage we're all approaching, that's certain, and the peace afforded for God's child, that's precious. But fourthly, there's the power administered in the crossing. In this text, no one but the Lord Himself could back up the waters of the Jordan so the people could cross. How was it? The text says in verse 16, it's by the greatness of thine arm. The greatness of thine arm, O Lord. It's not a matter of think positive. Most people choose not to ever think about dying. So it's not a matter of think positive. Keep your chin up. Think good thoughts. That's all the world has and knows. But for me, I'm thrilled to say with the scripture here, it's the greatness of thine arm, O Lord, that's in charge right now and will be in charge then. The power to cross is His power. Verse 17 said, thou shalt bring them in. Not they shall come in. Not they shall finally make it by the skin of their teeth. Oh no. But thou shalt bring them in. And plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. It's His power administered in that hour. The old song said, there's a light on the banks of the river. What a blessing it is to the soul. It will guide us safe over death's river to heaven, sweet heaven, our goal. It's by a power, God's power, administered to us in that moment. Forget about what you've done or can do. Isaac Watts, in the great hymn, At the Cross, wrote these words, but drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. You're not gaining any on the debt. You're losing every moment you live. Drops of grief and all the good works and all the religion does nothing on your part. Never repay the debt of love I owe. But here, Lord, I give myself away. Away to what? Away to You. Away to what You've done. My hope is in You. 'Tis all that I can do. I thought about this in closing. Death is like the postman who walks up to the front door and knocks gently. The door opens, and to the unbeliever, he hands a letter saying, rejected. What you are, all you've done to earn your way has never been enough. And it's not enough now. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. You say, I don't believe that. You will then. But to the believer, the postman knocks, the door opens, and he hands a letter that reads, accepted in the beloved. All that you ever needed to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, He has done it for you. In Ephesians 1:6, you are made accepted in Him. There's not a single charge against you. There's not one ounce of condemnation for you. There's no purgatory to stop at on the way. No. Your last breath is soon to come. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then absolutely nothing shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Amen.